Hello, doctor and fellow practitioners. Welcome to your second research report. Last month, May, we discussed a new screening methodology for the new patient and for the follow-up visits to include a 5 levels of to evaluate emotional stress. I know many of you have your own methods of evaluating emotional stress, but I believe that it is important to have a good grasp on what the individual's level of stress is so it doesn't sabotage your treatment. Ways that it can sabotage your treatment, of course, is through engagement of that right jaw, if they're switched, etc. So I implore you to look at that and review that last research report. It has some nice video with it as well. And looking at the, all those research reports are available in archive form on a web page, on our website, as it's attached with this email, but going to neuroorganization.org, you will be able to find it as well. I want to thank the people that did complete the application. We now have up-to-date information on your emails, of course, which makes it easier for me to send you these, and updated phone number, office phone numbers, address, etc. And soon I will be putting that together with a database so that the public can find practitioners around the United States and other countries around the world. However, only 50 people have done that so far out of the 250 we contacted, so I do implore you to please follow the link to the application page, fill it out, at least get your name, phone numbers, address, and email so that we'll have accurate information. As you complete the rest of the information in the survey form, we'll have an idea of what our membership would like, and we'll know how best to serve you. There is a counter on the website for the archive for the research reports, and that number is only in the 20s. That means less than half the people that did complete the application follow through to review and look at this, the audiovisual component to the first research report. I do implore you to please follow that link and review it. There will be good information on that as well as this and future research reports. Everything is archived there. You could download it. You could save it. And it should be available right there on the web page. If you have any trouble, contact me directly, and we'll correct the issues as best as we can. Earlier in this month, I had an opportunity to attend the annual Energy Kinesiology Conference that was held locally here for me in San Francisco. At that conference, the keynote speakers were Bruce Lipton. For those of you that have never heard of Bruce Lipton, he's quite well known, at least here in the United States and especially in the West Coast where he lives. He has written 2 books, his latest book, Spontaneous Evolution, and his prior book, Biology of Belief. 2 books that are excellent reading, and I strongly recommend them. He has always been a strong advocate of chiropractic. He taught at chiropractic schools years ago. He was a lecturer of mine, and he's absolutely fabulous. If you ever have a chance to see him, don't miss that opportunity to hear him speak. Also at that convention was Dr. Charles Krebs. For many of you, you know Charles Krebs. If you don't, he is a huge advocate for all the different kinesiologies. He's a PhD in marine biology and has a very interesting history. He has a practice originally in Australia. He is now on the East Coast in, I believe, in Boston area. And he's doing lots of good research. He has two techniques out, one called LEAP, Learning Enhancement Application Program, I believe, and the second newer one. Both are outstanding kinesiology-based techniques. He While he was in Australia, he had the opportunity to sit in on and attend several of Dr. Frary's lectures. So he is actually quite familiar with this work as well. During that conference, I actually also had a speaking slot, which I introduced a lot of the information that was in my first research report, including the paper that was enclosed, and then I did a demonstration of that screening protocol that was well received. During that convention, I had an opportunity to speak with Dr. Krebs at length, at which time I discussed with him some of the neurological components of neural organization technique, which I want to discuss at length later on. And he has, with his strong biology background and neuroanatomy, neurophysiology background, he offered some interesting insights that I'd like to share with you. Some parts of the survey that I think would be interesting to share with you was the question, do you evaluate and treat scoliosis? Do you evaluate and treat for the learning disabilities? Do you believe that every patient, every person that you evaluate has a vestibular ocular reflex deficit? And a question of what do you believe is a fundamental concept unique to neural organization technique? That question actually may not have been worded correctly. Just about everybody answered that question by saying the unique component or uniqueness of NRT is the fact that it looks at the body's survival systems as a significant component of the technique. And yes, that is true, but what we were really looking at, what do you believe is the fundamental neurological discovery or concept that's unique to neural organization technique? In other words, what did Dr. Frary actually bring in to the concept of healthcare that no one else has really looked at it, or at least not in any great depth? I think that's what would be really interesting. So I'd like you to think about that, and we'll talk about that more. Certainly the concept that of NLP looking at the survival systems, the gait reflexes, et cetera, the concept of the fight-flight system is a very important one, but it is not a unique thing, at least in my opinion, to NLP. Many other techniques look at that. Any psychologist that has studied also knows very well the concepts of the fight-flight system, especially as it relates to the limbic system or the subconscious emotional processing centers in the brain. And here, of course, many people, when you mention fight-flight, they think of those emotional limbic centers in the the body's reaction, which is often in the form of a fight-flight. What's a little different in NLP, we look at the fight-flight by the physical body's reaction to that fight-flight activity in the amygdala in particular, and how the body can maneuver a physical movement of fleeing and or fighting with the physical body. And that's an area that needs to be clarified, not only for ourselves, but our in our communication with fellow colleagues and the public as well. That concept of fight-flight has been well discussed in a lot of Stephen Levine's work. And others that have written about the same topic, like Dr. Robert Sapolsky, PhD, who wrote in his book, Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers. If you search the internet on primitive reflexes, you'll see a lot by a woman named Svetlana Mestakova, PhD, and she has written a lot about the basic primitive reflexes in children and as it relates to future problems, especially language processing problems, as it relates to child and infant development. In Charles Krebs' lecture at this conference that I attended, he relates, as well as
fairly well understood in neurophysiology, that trauma to the central nervous system essentially is a loss of synchronization of timing in the central nervous system. That's a key factor. Direct trauma can result in neuronal death, either by physical trauma or internal trauma in the form of hemorrhagic or avascular type strokes. When there's significant damage there, we often see what's called astrocytic scars. This is the classic finding that you'll see on MRI scans that lets you know that there's been significant neurological brain damage. And oftentimes you'll see seizure focuses of seizures in that part of the brain as well. Kind of on a lesser degree of involvement in brain injuries or things is a loss of oxygen. And it is believed that, or at least Dr. Krebs was discussing in great detail that he's working on in additional research with local universities, is a concept of low oxygen mode and of brain neurons, and not just neuronal death, but the neurons will go into a low oxygen mode and essentially shuts down in function. But there is a belief that through kinesiology work, possibly hyperoxygenation of the blood and other therapies, that you could actually turn these neurons back on and get them from an idle mode into again, active and activate them, thus in restoring neurological function. And here's probably an explanation for a lot of the work that NLP does in relationship to cranial injuries. The concept of concussions, there's been a lot of talk about concussions certainly in the media, and a major concern of physicians and neurologists. And here the concept of microbleeding results in potentially hidden hypoxia of local neural structures. And again, the work of neural organization technique, and specifically the cranial injury concept, can play a major role in turning these neural structures back on. And now talking about Dr. Krebs, as I mentioned, he's the founder of LEAP, Learning Enhancement Education Program. And the other program the other concept that he's working on, I believe, is called AcroNeuroSync. And he's really making significant contributions in the field. As you can see, it has been a busy month and an exciting month. So thank you for letting me just go on about that. Head injuries, cranial injuries, and neurological involvement from that is a key concern to anybody practicing neural organization tech. And just as a side note, once you have completed the basic neurological units involving category 1 through skate centering reflexes, cranial injury, defensive jaw, category 2, etc., that those circuits remain pretty good shape and will last months, years. I've seen it last decades as well. And the thing that, of course, brings it back is your significant head injury, concussion of some significance. And I always make it a high priority for any patient, any family that I'm working with, if their child suffers a concussion from any sport, that's the individual I want to see as soon as possible. It has been a busy month here, and thus the delay in getting this research report out just barely at the end of June here. Now, in perusing through the data from the survey of the responses we have to date, some of the questions were, do you include NLP on every patient? Do you evaluate and treat centering reflexes, cranial injury components, scoliosis, defensive jaw, the endocrine system, the digestive jaw, the immune system? Do you evaluate and treat learning disabilities? Do you treat infants and toddlers? And another area that I want to go in much greater length here is, do you believe that everybody has a vestibular ocular reflex deficit? So I'd like you just to think about that concept as well. And when we get to the vestibulocular VOR system and reviewing the basic manual, probably about two or three newsletters from now, we'll discuss that in great detail. There were a couple of places where we asked for your more opinions and thoughts. In particular, one question was, what do you feel is the fundamental concept unique to NOP? And here the general response was the use of the survival systems, of going through the fight-flight system, the digestive system, the endocrine system, and the treatment protocol. And yes, that is true. And it is a unique factor to NOP in that it places a stronger emphasis on it. It's a belief that's very common to your psychologist. It's extremely well studied in that field. There are many other techniques that look at gait and centering reflex, certainly within applied kinesiology, as well as other cranial techniques, Upledger's work, etc. In particular, there's a lot of other practitioners out there that and concepts that look at basically the similar roles of the survival and primitive reflexes within the human body. In particular, one is, if I pronounce her name correctly, Svetlana Mastakotova. She's a PhD from Russia, and she has done a lot of work with actually young infants, looking at the primitive reflexes and their development through in utero all the way through birth and infancy. And this is excellent work, and it very much dovetails with the concepts of neural organization technique. Others that have discussed a similar concept, somebody who's been around for a while, I believe he's in California down at Stanford, there's a research fellow, Robert Sapolsky, Dr. Robert Sapolsky. He's written a book that's very well known, Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers, and he looks at basically the same concept. If the nervous system is in a fight-flight mode, then it turns off other systems, like the digestive system, and modulates the endocrine system. And the other side of the coin is animals in the wild usually do not suffer from emotional stressors. And when they are challenged, they respond. They either fight back or flee. And thus the title, Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers, digestive complaints that humans often acquire. When the board actually did put together this questionnaire, I believe it was our theme was in asking what is the fundamental or unique concept NOP. The wording may not have been best. We probably wanted to see something like, what do you think is the fundamental neurological discovery or concept unique to NOP? And so I'd like you to think about that, and we will discuss that probably in the next newsletter or certainly thereafter. Another question that brought that had a varied response was, how do you evaluate and treat emotional factors and overlays using NOT methods? And how do you evaluate and treat in relationship to factors? These are key concepts that, again, we'll be talking and I will be talking about in greater depth as we go through the manual. And because it is these concepts where the greatest diversity of opinions and thoughts are. Another topic is energy medicine. There were some questions, do you believe energy medicine should be included and in different parts of the NOP protocol? Some people were confused. What is energy medicine? And hopefully, as you know, and if you've ever seen Dr. Frey work, he was the epitome of an energy medicine practitioner. energy medicine is probably from its early beginnings involved magnetic therapies, and if you recall, that was Dr. Furey's origin in energy medicine, and he practiced magnetic therapy way, way back in his early practicing days. But here for more 21st century kind of terminology, what is the role of energy medicine? Is you could say, think of it as simply to bring coherent energy into a maladaptive physiology. Essentially, you want to restore homeostasis of physiological function, and that's the goal of an energy medicine practitioner. Then you may ask, well, what is coherent energy? Well, the answer was essentially is information, that the practitioner is transforming informational energy from the practitioner's knowledge space, or perhaps a collective knowledge, to the client's maladaptive physiology. If you were discussing that with the varied practitioners, you would see many would say, well, you know, information comes in the form of a chemical or pharmaceutical or nutritional product that's introduced to the body. Many chiropractors will basically feel that it's a mechanically hands-on work that induces that information into the nervous system. And, of course, the third way that I'm discussing here is the energetic form or energy medicine techniques that brings that information into the body and nervous system. However, there's a conundrum here, and the challenge is how does one teach energy medicine, evaluate one's expertise, and importantly, the public's reaction and ability to accept energy medicine. There has been a lot of progress in that, especially in the last decade or so with the concepts of CAM, complementary alternative medicine, and techniques, alternative versus alternative, meaning used in place of conventional medicine. Complementary is used with conventional medicine, and integrative medicine is combining treatments from conventional medicine and CAM. CAM would be complementary alternative medicine. And functional medicine. So we have all these different terminologies, all basically trying to incorporate the concepts of energetic medicine or energy medicine into the healing art. But herein lies the challenge because NOT, neural organization technique, does have several energy medicine techniques and steps within not only the basic, but certainly in the advanced methodologies within the work. And, of course, herein lies the challenge in teaching NOT, looking at the, how does one teach and evaluate one's expertise in energy medicine? How does one evaluate the effectiveness on the individual patient while they're working? Is it temporary? Is it long-standing? And using your classic muscle testing, there's a lot of leeway and opinion on that. Those that are well-schooled in applied kinesiology understand the concept of the 49-51 percenters, meaning that you could take any system that's in deficit, add any positive input, whether it's mild, minimal, or significant, and you will get a change in muscle, change in muscle strength by showing a positive input into a system. Will it last minutes, hours, or days? Well, that's a different story and difficult to evaluate, at least in the classroom situation. So the best thing that we could do, especially the purpose of this organization, meaning Neural Organization International Professional, is we are trying to increase the knowledge base of individual practitioners and understand that everyone practices differently, especially when it comes to the energy medicine techniques, and we're not here to say which one is you should or should not do, which one is better or worse. It's the idea that you have a full and complete neurological and understanding of each and every step of the technique so that you could talk about it and explain it and understand it thoroughly and recognize when you are using energy medicine protocols and steps to enhance some of the basic neurology that is very much a key part of NLP. So when it comes down to down the road, when our organization attempts to look at certification processes for the individual practitioner, we want to see that and facilitate your knowledge and understanding of the completeness of NLP, know what it can and cannot do, where the neurological concepts have come from, and how you choose and exactly how you implement that is up to the individual practitioner. But we will attempt to outline the basic concepts and steps that we know has a good foundation and can result in a successful outcome. When it comes to recertification of instructors, here it gets a little more complex, and what we're really looking for is to have a group of instructors that have not only a good foundational understandings of the mechanics of neural organization technique, but have a knowledge base of such that they can really expand upon the neurology and explain each and every step, what it means physiologically, clinically, and the impact it has on specific conditions. And of course, to have a knowledge base capable of answering any questions that your students may have. And again, our job is not to, we're not looking to decertify anybody. We want to facilitate everybody's knowledge to optimize the knowledge of NLP and bring it into the 21st century. And that will be the challenge for our organization. For me personally, when I first got involved with Dr. Furey back in the early 80s, probably 1982 or so, he was just putting together a lot of the concepts, and the first couple of classes, I took all his classes, his initial classes he had out in California. And in many conversations I had with him, he was always trying to address a lot of the complaints practitioners had. Always on the top of the list is, oh, if I can't do this procedure in 15 or 20 minutes, it's too long, I can't implement it in my practice. So he was always looking for ways to divide things up, thus the concept of neurological units, and to simplify things. Later on, when he went through a philosophical decision of does he extend this work to non-chiropractors, non-licensed healthcare practitioners, his basic attitude was anybody that was willing to learn, he was willing to teach and share. I think this concept worked in getting the name and the understanding of neurological organization technique out into the public in greater numbers, but there were some downsides to that. And, one of the main downsides to that is in lengthy discussions I had with Carl was that began a process of simplifying things and taking out some of the more complex neurological concepts, and essentially eliminating the neurophysiological explanations for more of a show-and-tell type of approach. Although this led for a greater understanding for many people, I believe the shortcomings is that it takes away from the individual, knowledgeable individual practitioner to be able to really kind of to basically troubleshoot complex cases, to really think and implement different components of the technique and address more serious health issues. So you will see me in future reports here, research reports. We're going to be adding a lot of those concepts in that Dr. Ofori originally had and then withdrew from the technique. And I think you'll enjoy that, especially the practitioners that have a greater understanding of neuroanatomy and neurophysiology. An example of that is the vestibular ocular reflex system. And as you know, it's a basic component of the core neurology that's responsible for scoliosis. So the question is, do we see that in every nervous system? Yes or no? Does every nervous system have a scoliosis, an active scoliosis? Yes or no? And the scoliosis, the VOR system relates to scoliosis. It also relates to the VOR component and learning disabilities. Does that also mean that everybody thus has not only scoliosis, but everybody has a learning disability, or at least a neurological learning disability? These are questions that I want to go to in greater detail. And I hope this gives you some food for thought to think about and ponder as well. Thank you for letting me ramble on here, and I look forward to speaking to you again next month. And next month we will begin covering the beginning of the structural body fight-flight system, beginning with Category 1. Thank you, and good evening to you all.